Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field train and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you ready to go? Ready or not, here we go. But the idea is to listen to Ray witness to people so you are ready. Practice. Learn biblical principles, and then it won't be quite as scary.
Come on, y'all, now let's go listen. The way of the messer is for you to go fishing. Not the kind of fishing that you do in the river, because the baby uses the message to deliver.
I will make you fishers of men.
To the streets we go. Ray, are you all ready?
Yes, I'm excited, Todd.
All right, so you get all equipped. You learn how to do this biblically. Let's be honest. It's still scary, isn't it?
Terrifying. But you learn to hold the terror.
How do you do that?
Well, you think of a swimming pool and how freezing the water would be if it had ice in it and how you wouldn't jump in for all the tea in China. But you see your little three-year-old fall into the water, you wouldn't think about it for a second. You just jump in and save him. So there's a love and a compassion that swallows fear.
Excellent. Let's go to the streets and find Lionel wherever he is. Hello, Lionel.
Hi, Todd. I'm here at the Coringle Hub in Frankston. We've got Heather here, and Heather thinks that people go to heaven if they're a good person. And she says that she will go to heaven because she's a Christian. So I'm going to put her straight onto the phone to you.
All right. Very good. Let's have a chat with Heather. Take it away, Ray.
Here she is.
Hello.
Heather, nice of you to come on the radio with us. My name's Ray, and I'd like you to tell me what you believe about how you get to heaven.
Well, I believe that if you are a good person, then you will go to heaven if you repent for your sins. Because everyone sins. But if you repent and truly believe, then I believe that you will go to heaven.
Okay, I've got a little dilemma for you.
Uh-huh.
If you're a good person, why on earth would you have to repent of your sins?
Well, because everyone sins. And if you are truly sorry for the sins that you have committed, then God will forgive you and you'll go to heaven.
So if I was dying and I had, say, 3 minutes to live, someone stuck a knife in my back, which isn't very nice, and my time is running out, and I say to you, Heather, how do I get to heaven? Could you tell me again? Because it's not really clear for me. I'm having a bit of a dilemma. What do I do?
Well, you say you're very sorry. You thank him for all the things that he's done in your life.
Yeah.
And if you are truly sorry, he will know. He will know if you're lying to him.
Yep.
He has to be truly sorry,
uh-huh.
And he will let you in.
So you just have to be truly sorry for your sins and God opens the door?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to test you on this, all right?
Uh-huh.
Do you think you're a good person?
I think that I'm a good person, yes. I live the Christian life. I sin, as everyone else does.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat, okay? And it's not going to be very comfortable, but I want to see if you're a good person. And there's a reason for doing this, because what you're telling me is what a lot of people believe. And I just want to see if it's true. So let's test all things and hold fast to that, which is good. Are you ready?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Appreciate your honesty. What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything in your life?
I'm sure I have, yes.
Okay. What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
A thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what that's called?
Blasphemy.
Yeah, blasphemy. It's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word. One more.
Yes.
We're looking at some of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, I'm sure you're familiar with it, he said, you've heard it said, by them of old you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, mm-hmm. whoever looks with lust has committed adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Yes.
So you committed adultery in your heart. I'll go for one more, seeing we're going so well. Have you ever hated someone?
Yes.
Okay, the Bible says, he who hates his brother is a murderer. So here we go. This is a little mm-hmm. summation. I've got you in the courtroom. You're on the stand. I'm a prosecuting attorney, and I've just asked you some questions. So I'm gonna have a summary. You said you're a good person, mm-hmm. but in truth, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, murderous adulterer at heart, by your own admission.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true. I guess if you look at it like that, I guess it's true.
Well, this is God's point of view. God looks at us from holiness, from utter perfection. Now, take yourself in a court of law, and you're standing in front of the mm-hmm. judge, and you say, Judge, I've done some very serious crimes in my life. You're right. All the evidence is in. I'm guilty of heinous crimes. But I want to tell you, I'm really sorry, Judge. I know there's a $1 million fine that you're leveling at me, but I'm really, really sorry, and I won't do it again. The judge is going to say, well, you should be sorry. You've broken the law. And what do you mean you won't do it again? Of course you won't do it again. You've done wrong. So a judge won't let you go just because you're sorry, and you won't do it again. And most of us think all we have to do is go to God and say, God, I'm really sorry for my sins. I won't do it again. Please forgive me, and God will forgive us. Well, if a judge in a courtroom wouldn't do that, he'd be unjust and actually criminal to do that. Just let a criminal go free, he becomes a criminal himself. If a judge is good, he must uphold justice and do that which is right and punish wrongdoing. And it's the same with God. He says he'll by no means clear the guilty. So what are you going to do on Judgment Day when all your secret sins come out as evidence of your guilt? What are you going to say to God? I'm sorry?
Well, God is much more forgiving than a judge.
He's much more holy. The God of the Bible says
He sees the truth that's in your heart.
Yeah, and he sees the truth is that we're lying, thieving, blasphemous, murdering, adulterers at heart. He sees truth, and the Bible actually says as anger abides on us, and every time we sin, we're storing up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. That's in the book of Romans chapter 2 and John chapter 3 verse 36. So I'm not making this up. I'm telling you the gospel
truth. I believe you.
Yeah, so you're in big trouble. So have you heard of the gospel?
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay, this is the gospel. Heather, let me explain it. Stay with me. I know this is a little uncomfortable because it is a hot mm-hmm. seat. But at the moment, if you died, the Bible says you'd end up in hell, even though you're sorry for your sins. It says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. But you're right about something.
Uh-huh.
God is rich in mercy, and he made a way for you to be forgiven. And you have no idea
mm-hmm.
what God did for you?
Well, he sent Jesus.
That's good.
His son, to die on the cross for our sins.
That's just what you forgot to tell me, that's all. That's why I'm suspicious mm-hmm. about your salvation, because, boy, if someone says to me, how can I get to heaven, there is no way I would forget to mention Jesus. You go back to the courtroom, the judge says, okay, there's mm-hmm. a $1 million fine. You're guilty, you're sorry for your sins, so you should be, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to extend mercy towards you. I'm going to pay that fine myself. And if the judge gets out his checkbook and pays the fine for you, then he can let you go. Justice has been done. He's extended mm-hmm. his mercy. He's shown his love towards you, even though that you're a criminal. And he's freely paid your fine. That's what God did for you and I in Jesus Christ. Remember, God became a person. And so Jesus dying on yeah. the cross was God taking the punishment for our sins. He is bruised for our iniquities and rising from death so that we could be freely forgiven. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me what I have to do to receive God's gift of everlasting life. How would you put it?
Well, yes, you asked me what I can do to get into heaven.
Yep.
And what I can do, I can't be God and send down my son. I can only be sorry.
You got to repent.
Yes, he did that for us.
Right. So you got to repent and trust in him.
Yes.
That's the key. That's what most people forget. They don't understand that. We yes. surrender our lives to him. And the moment we do that, we repent mm-hmm. and trust Jesus. God forgives us our sins and grants us everlasting life. Heather, do you read your Bible every day without fail?
No, I don't.
When did you last read it?
We did a study on it last weekend.
Boy, so that's a long time you've gone. When did you last feed your stomach?
yesterday sometime.
Yesterday sometime. So which comes first in your life, your Bible or your belly?
Well, we eat food to live.
Mm-hmm. But remember,
and
Jesus
even
said,
even though I don't read the Bible every day, I communicate with God every day.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those other things will be added to you. Can I encourage you, Heather? Put God and his mm-hmm. word first in your life. Surrender that part mm-hmm. of your life. Because, I mean, who doesn't talk to God? 90% of people pray, but so few people want to listen to what God says, and he speaks to us through his word. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. And the scriptures say, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in season. Your leaf won't wither, and whatever you do will prosper if you meditate on God's law. So put his word first, read it daily, feed on God's word, and it'll be a nourishment to you. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Heather. I've been listening. I've been listening. I have one question for you. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes, I do.
How come?
Because I don't do any of these things deliberately. I don't do them. Like, yes, I have lustful thoughts, and yes, I may tell a lie, and yes, I do use God's name in vain, but not because it's him. It's just a natural reflex that, unfortunately, most people have.
Do you think that you've ever been a bad person?
Well, in the eyes of other humans, yes.
No, but what do you think about
it? In the eyes of God?
No, you don't think so, huh?
In the eyes of God, I think he knows what's in my heart, and so I don't think I have, no.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for chatting with us today, okay?
That's fine.
appreciate it very much. Pass that telephone back to that fellow who gave it to you. We sure do appreciate your time, Heather.
Okay.
See you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
That just kills me to listen to. We have an Adamic nature. We are sinful and unclean. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? We're not good, and God does see our heart, and what he sees is wicked and defiled. And the only way that Christians are good is because we have an imputed goodness to us. Ugh, gotta take a break. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for listening today. Always appreciate when you spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Have you checked out Wretched TV? Yep. 30-minute TV program hosted by Todd with witnessing encounters and discussions on theological issues and other topics in the Christian community. Check your local listings for Wretched TV, or if you like, just go to wretched.org/TV. And a special thank you to our gospel partners for making Wretched Radio and TV and wretched.org possible. If you're not a gospel partner yet, would you please consider it? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner and to help us continue to make Wretched available to everyone. Wretched.org/donate and check out Wretched TV. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She says, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
You know what's bad? Traffic. You know what's worse? False teaching. Yeah. So why not learn about false teaching the next time you're sitting in traffic? Drive-by false teaching. 79 lectures on false teaching, perfect for your morning commute. Join Phil Johnson, Mike Fabares, and Todd as they discuss false teaching that threatens the contemporary church. Drive-by false teaching will help you distinguish between the true and the false, or worse, the true and the almost true, and give you the tools to contend earnestly for the faith. Learn about the Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many, many more. Visit wretched.org/false to get your copy and learn about false teaching on your drive to work. wretched.org/false. And learn to defend our Christian doctrines. Wretched.org/false. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? We've got people all around us who are going down every single day. We got to figure out how to do something about it. Ray, are you ready to go fishing?
I'm ready to do something, Todd.
All right. What we want to do is reach out, start a conversation, and just witness to somebody, just like a lifeguard who rescues somebody who's drowning. We know somebody who isn't saved, and they face a horrible fate. As scary as it is, as wet as we might get, nevertheless, we got to do it. That's what we're called to do. So, Ray, you're going to do it.
If they panic a little, you got to slap them around the face. I've seen that on television. Even knock them out, grab them around the throat, and pull them to the shore.
That's like an allegory. You don't mean we should actually just, like, punch somebody?
Well, let's see what happens.
Alrighty, fine. Oh, Josh!
Todd!
Where are you, sir?
Mate, I'm actually on the beach at the Gold Coast. We're actually in Cavill Avenue, after the nice little tourist strip.
What's the fellow's name?
Okay, we have a young man named Dan here. He's 19 years of age. Now, we've asked him if he has a religious background. He said he has none. So we asked him the question, what happens when someone dies? And his quote was, it's game over.
Yeah, well, that's pretty depressing. But, boy, he better be partying very hard and enjoying life a lot, because if this is all it has to offer, he better eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, so we're going to talk to Dan, who believes in a whole lot of nothing, and let's have a little chat with Dan. Let's have at it, Josh.
Okay.
All righty, this is Dan. Take it away, Ray.
Hello?
Dan, thank you for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. So you're at Surfers Paradise on the beach?
We are indeed, yeah, it's good.
Do you surf?
No, I'm up visiting my brother, who's an exchange student here. He's taking it off. He's quite handy now.
Where are you originally from?
Near Manchester in England.
Oh, and how long have you been in Australia?
This is just my fourth day now. I've not been here long.
Oh, that's interesting. Hey, Dan, tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies? What's on the other side?
I don't think there is another side, to be honest. I think once you're dead, that's it, I'm afraid.
So you've had no religious instruction whatsoever?
None whatsoever, no.
Do you believe God exists, Dan?
No, I don't believe in God, no.
Well, that's interesting. So how long have you been an atheist?
All my life.
So as a little baby, you had the realization there was no God? You just grew up saying there's no God? There wasn't a time in your life when you saw the darkness?
I guess up until about the age of 10, I was never quite sure. You know, I thought maybe 50-50.
But, so what was it that happened at 10 that convinced you? One day you just said, there's no God. Was it the fact that there's suffering on the earth, that there's earthquakes?
I guess I just learned. I was never quite sure. So things like, not necessarily like evolution and stuff, things like that, they just didn't quite add up for me. And so I became an atheist.
But evolution doesn't say there's no God. It just says this is the way evolutionists think life happened, but they don't exclude the existence of God.
That's true. It doesn't exclude, but I mean, there's nothing in the, for me, there's nothing in the Bible, not that I've studied it extensively.
Have you opened the Bible at all and studied it at all?
Well, no, but, you know, I know the basics. I know Adam and Eve, and that doesn't really go hand in hand with evolution.
No, it doesn't. It's a kind of an exact opposite. It says every animal brings forth after its own kind, like we see in creation. So, Dan, you don't think there's any proof for God's existence?
There might be something like a higher being, but I don't think anyone's interpretation of that is correct.
Also, that you think there could be a higher being that created this creation we see around us. I mean, we see the flowers, the birds, the trees, the sun,
Possibly.
The moon, the stars, the seasons.
I wouldn't rule that out.
Oh, that's good. So you're not really an atheist. You're kind of just an agnostic that acknowledges there could be a higher power that created all things.
Yeah, well, there could be, but again, I'd be skeptical about that as well.
If there is a higher being, do you think this higher being is intelligent?
if that higher being has created all this, then I'd say they were fairly intelligent, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you make an eye from nothing? A human eye out of nothing? I mean, it's got 137 million light-sensitive cells, focusing muscles that move an estimated 100,000 times a day. Could you create an eye out of nothing?
I, of course, could not create an eye out of nothing, no.
No, none of us can. So
yeah,
this,
they are. They're amazing.
So this higher being must be really intelligent and pretty powerful.
Yeah. Well, it depends what this higher being did. Like, if they just got a few organisms going or whatever and then evolution's done the rest, then maybe they're not as intelligent as the human eye would suggest. But
So you've got to be pretty clever to create some organisms that are going to end up like the order we see in creation. So let's just surmise, let's pretend for a few moments that this higher being also has a sense of right and wrong. So let me ask you a few questions about morality, if I may. Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dan, I'd like you to be real honest and reasonable with me, and I'm sure you're going to be. I'm going to ask you some questions to see if you really are a good person. Here's the first one. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Okay. So you committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's a very serious sin to use God's name as a cuss word. What about...
I'm aware that's called blasphemy, yeah.
Yeah, what about stealing? Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Minor, yeah.
Yeah, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Uh-huh. And one more, have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, of course, but that's not... all those kind of things, right? They don't necessarily mean you're a bad person.
Okay, now what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay, so let's have a little summary, Dan. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. We've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. So here's a great big if for you.
Yeah.
If this higher power has a day of judgment and you stand in front of him on the day of judgment and he judges you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I would. Innocent or guilty?
Yeah.
To be honest, if this higher being is intelligent enough to know that it's not that clear cut, I think I've done enough good things to outweigh the bad.
So okay, that's very interesting you say that. So let's follow the reasoning there. Imagine standing in front of a judge in a court of law, and you've raped a woman and slit her throat. And you say, Judge, I know I raped that woman and I slit her throat. It's very serious, but I want to tell you, I've done a lot of good things in my life. I've given to the Red Cross.
I
help old ladies across the road. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? That's absolutely irrelevant. And our good works are totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
Our good works are totally irrelevant when we stand before God. They can't wash away our crimes. And you are going to be guilty of lying and stealing and blasphemy and adultery. And there's no way you can wash away your sins.
Right.
And so does it concern you that if you died today, according to the Bible, you'd end up in hell forever?
If I died today, I would if there was such a thing as heaven, I'd expect to be let in. Fundamentally, I've done more good than I have bad.
Yeah, but you can't, because good works can't wash away your crimes, the same as in a court of law. And the Bible says all liars love their part in the lake of fire. You can't enter heaven. So what are you going to say to God? How can you justify yourself, Dan?
I don't know. Like, I'd just say, I've used a bit of blasphemy in the time, but then at the same time, I've done this, I've raised this much money to charity, or
that's not going to wash away your sins.
I
wouldn't lie to you. That's so important. You understand this principle. The only thing that can save you from hell is God's mercy. That's the only thing that can save you. You won't be able to save yourself on the day of judgment. And God is rich in mercy, and He provides.
That's your opinion. I'm good for that, though.
Yeah, well, give me a minute, and I'll just explain something to you, and then you tell me what you think, okay?
Okay, go for it.
God provided a way for you to be forgiven. He provided a way for your case to be dismissed. God became a person in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and then Jesus gave His life, His perfect sinless life, on that cross. When He was on the cross, He took the punishment for Dan's sins, for my sins, for the sin of the whole world. He was bruised for our iniquities. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid our fine in His life's blood. And then the scriptures say He rose from the dead and defeated the grave. And what you've got to do to receive forgiveness of sins, for your case to be dismissed, you have to repent, turn from your sins, and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And as long as you keep saying, oh, I'll be fine if I stand before God, I'll just tell Him what a good person I am, you'll never want God's mercy. But the moment you listen to your conscience and realize that you're a guilty criminal like the rest of us, then you'll say, God, there's nothing I can say to justify myself. I need your mercy. And God is rich in mercy. Dan, I don't know when you're going to die. You could die tonight. And I'm just saying to you, this is so important. There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. So please, don't be flippant. Don't be apathetic. Don't mock the gospel. Listen to your conscience. Listen to the gospel. And then think about where you're going to spend eternity. Think about your sins. Think about what God did for you. in Jesus Christ so that you could be
Todd,
forgiven.
Todd, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
According to your beliefs, should I spend my life trying to avoid sin or forgetting that slightly and trying to do fundamentally good things with my life?
No, it won't help you. What you've got to do is realize you've already got a multitude of sins and God's wrath abides upon you. The only thing you can do is fling yourself upon God's mercy and He'll change you on the inside. He'll give you a love for that which is right so that you'll no longer want to lie or steal or lust or blaspheme because of God's goodness and changing your heart. That's what happens when you're born again. That happened to me over 30 years ago, Dan. He changed my life on the inside so that you want to please the God that gave you life. So please think about it.
Yeah, good.
Please open a Bible and read it.
I'll give it a little thought.
Todd, would you like to talk to Dan?
Hey, Dan, thank you very much for your time. It's been a delight. I've been eavesdropping on your conversation. For whatever this is worth, Dan, a bunch of people will be praying for you, okay?
Good to know.
Hey, mate, thank you.
No worries. Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Back with more on Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough, long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Well, here's something slightly less than shocking. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association says a 2020 Franklin Graham tour of the UK will go on despite 7 of the 8 venues now canceling agreements due to what critics say are Graham's homophobic views. Graham is scheduled to speak in 8 United Kingdom cities from May 30th through October 4th, but that's a bit in doubt after 7 venues canceled the contracts or refused to sign them under pressure from LGBT groups and activists. You remember ACC Liverpool was the first to cancel in January. Since then, 6 more have done the same. The Graham Tour website does list location TBA on every city with the exception of Newcastle. Way to go, Newcastle. It's scheduled to be held there at the Utilita Arena. Brian Kerr, a Church of Scotland minister and a supporter of same-sex marriage, launched a petition to pressure the Scottish event campus to cancel Graham's appearance at Glasgow Hydro Arena. It worked. They did. Glasgow City Council leader Susan Aiken said it would not be appropriate for the event to go on. Mainstream and LGBT media in the United Kingdom are labeling Graham anti-gay and a hate preacher. A BBC report noted Graham, quote, has been criticized for claiming that marriage should be between a man and a woman, as well as comments made about followers of Islam. Graham, though, says he only wants to preach the gospel and to tell others about God's love. He also says the venues are discriminating against historic Christianity. Yes, they are. A statement on the Graham Tour website, directed at volunteers, says yes, the tour will go on as scheduled. And in an open letter, Graham reminded everyone he's not coming to the UK to speak about politics. Doesn't matter these days, Franklin. Doesn't matter. As long as we're in the UK, the Church of England is apologizing now after they issued a statement declaring that sex should only be between heterosexual married couples, according to the Belfast Telegraph. Sex only between heterosexual married couples. Isn't that somewhere in the Bible? John Sentamu and Justin Welby wrote, "We as archbishops, alongside the bishops of the Church of England, apologize and take responsibility for releasing a statement which we acknowledge has jeopardized trust." The original statement was prompted by a recent UK law that allows straight couples to get married in a civil ceremony instead of a traditional marriage. Previously, civil partnerships in the UK had only been an option for same-sex couples. The statement, according to CNN, mandated that Christians in civil partnerships should abstain from sex since civil partnerships aren't always based on romantic love. As a report in Christian Headlines noted, the original guidance makes a traditional stand for marriage. The apology does not. Where I come from, in my neck of the woods, we call it caving into political pressure. But that's just us. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, it is a Witness Wednesday. Going to hit the streets. We're going to go check in with Trish. Hey, Trish, where are you?
Hi, I'm in Fort Worth, and I almost didn't find somebody, but this nice student here said, sure, I'll go ahead and do it. He was like, I got to get to class, but I'll do it. And his name is David. He was raised Christian, but he says he never could really swallow or believe in the fact that there is only one religion and that all other religions are wrong. And so for him, what you believe is good for you, so what I believe would be okay for me. So if I believe I'm going to purgatory or heaven, that's fine. If you believe you're just going to die and cease to exist, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. So he's a typical postmodern. And how old is David? Do we have a clue on that?
Yeah, David, you look about, what, 20? 19. Okay, I was close. He's 19.
All right. What's he studying there? Do we know?
He is working. He's getting his general ed, and he wants to go into education. I guess he wants to teach people his philosophies about about believe whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't need a teacher for that, do I?
Right.
Alrighty.
So that's David for you. He's ready to go, and he's a nice young man.
All right, let's give it a go, shall we?
All right, David, here you are.
All righty.
Hello.
David, how do you do?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You know what? Thanks for giving up some time. We sure do appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. David, you believe that I can believe anything I want to, correct?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah. So why do you want to be an educator?
Well, I was studying neurology. But that's more just a hobby of mine, and I just like teaching people. I believe that I have some good ideas, and I just want to kind of
cram them down their throat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you believe that they're correct, correct?
Yeah, everybody's correct.
I believe you're wrong. Am I correct?
Sure, why not?
How does that work?
Well, this is mainly, like, for my religious views. I mean, like, if you believe you're going to go to heaven, then why not? You're going to go to purgatory, why not?
Well, see, what I think you've done is you've taken religion, faith, concept of God, and you've created a category for it, and you've put it in this place probably called spirituality or faith or religion, and as if we can concoct that, and it's not reality. You put it in a place where it's like it's not really real.
It's more individualistic reality. It's true for that person.
All right, so David, let's say that I believe I'm going to go spend eternity in Tuscany doing nothing but eating the most amazing margarita pizza with that, you know, that crust that's like cracker crust that's so good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. While in the background, they play nothing but Mario Lanza, and every night at 7:14 p.m., Enrico Caruso walks in and sits down and asks if he can have pizza with me. That's what I think is going to happen to me for eternity.
All righty. Well, then that will happen in your eternity. That won't happen in my eternity.
Uh-huh.
But for you, why not?
How's about this for an answer? Because I can't make those things happen?
Well, I mean, you won't be on this actual earth. You could imagine it. That could be your heaven or whatever, but it won't actually be truly happening. But for you, in your reality, it will be happening.
Okay. This is the little problem that we've now run into, David. Here's what I really believe.
All righty.
I believe that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then God is going to judge us. All right? And I believe that those people who fail to repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone will go to hell because they have broken God's laws and they have lived as sinners. And they will spend all of eternity there. That's what I believe. Okay?
Well, I believe that will happen for you.
All right, but here's the rub, though, David. I believe that everybody on earth is going to experience that, and everybody who doesn't repent is going to hell. So all of a sudden, my reality is colliding with your reality. I think you're going to go to hell, David, if you're not a Christian. So where are you going to go?
Well, I never said that whatever you believe will happen to me is true.
Well,
I said whatever happens will believe to you.
Yeah, no, that's my reality. That's what I've created in the afterlife.
Alrighty. So in your afterlife, I will be in hell. But in my afterlife, I'll be in heaven. And they can both be true because in spirit, there's infinite amount of possibilities.
All right. David.
Yes.
Do you believe that you exist?
I believe I exist, yes.
You've got a physical body and it's real?
Yes.
You're sure that this isn't just somebody's dream and you're inside of somebody's imagination?
I mean, I've thought of that, but I mean, even if it is, I'm as real as anything else in this world, so So it doesn't really matter if I am just a dream, because I'm just as real as anything else going on.
Okay, so how many souls do you have? How many Davids are there inside of you? One or two?
There's just one David.
Okay, but David, see, here's the problem. I believe that you, David, your one personality slash soul, whatever you want to call it, is going to my hell. Now what do we do?
Well, that's an interesting point right there, I guess. Well, then I guess there might be an infinite amount of Davids. Just one that is truly, truly just me, my cognition, just me thinking and me living.
Okay, David.
This is me, but I could have, you can believe that,
right,
yeah.
My friend, I want you to come toward the sound of my voice. Dude, this is getting bonkers here.
See, but my just belief is that God would not just say, alrighty, you guys are all right, you guys are all wrong.
Why not?
No, he
why
just
not?
Wants
David, wait
us-
a second, wait, whoa. Why not?
Because he created this earth just for us to live. He wants us just to believe. Any way that we can get
that's not what he wants. That's not what the Bible says anyway, okay?
I don't believe in the Bible.
Well,
that's not,
I know you don't. I'm just telling you what it says.
Well, the Bible is different than the Torah, which is different than Buddhist teachings. Why is one prophet right and all the other ones are wrong?
Well, because that happens. Sometimes somebody's right and everybody else is wrong. Sometimes one person is wrong and everybody else is right. It's
all right,
okay.
And how do you know that you're not the wrong person?
You know what? Very fair. That's very fair. This won't do anything for you, but I know what I know because I've experienced it. That really probably won't do much for you, but that's a very fair point. But David, let me share something with you, because if you went to a Christian church, based on our conversation, I am almost certain there is a missing piece of information that will at least allow you to go, oh, okay, now I know why those people think the way they do, and it will at least clear up your understanding about Christianity in only one path. Now, what you do with that information, David, is up to you. You can reject it, you can receive it, whatever you prefer, but I think I've got something for you that might at least make you go, huh, I learned something today. Are you up for that, my educator friend?
Lay it on me.
Here we go. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes, I would.
All right. The Bible, I know you don't believe it, the Bible says God has a list of laws. They're called the Ten Commandments. You know those, right?
Oh, yeah.
Name one.
Thou shalt not steal.
Ever done that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe once or twice.
All right.
Nothing big.
Okay. Doesn't matter the object of the or the value. It doesn't make any difference. Stealing is stealing. So you're a thief.
No, not necessarily.
Well, sure you are. You've stolen things. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
All right. If I told a lie, you'd call me a?
A liar.
All right. So you've confessed that you're a thief and a liar. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's blasphemy. If this God exists, he made you. He's provided air for you to breathe and food for you to eat. And instead of thanking him, you've cursed his name and you've said bad things about it. And he says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. Can you imagine how offended he would be, right?
Well, not necessarily, because I do plenty of good things, too.
Hold on. That's a nice thought, and I commend you for that. But any criminal who stands before a judge who's guilty doesn't get sent out into freedom because he helped an old woman cross the street. If you've broken the law, you're guilty. Here's a tough one for you, David. This is going to get a little harsher for you, all right?
All right.
There's a commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus, who is God himself, said, I say to you, if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. David, you ever done that one?
Sure I have, but have you never done that?
No, sir, I have done it way more than you have. I am quite certain of it.
So do you believe that you're going to go to hell?
I believe that I should go to hell.
But you don't believe that you're going to go to hell?
But here's why, though. But I want to get some agreement from you first, and I'll explain why. Do you believe that you should go to hell based on your crime record?
No.
Well, but you've broken the laws. You're a luster. You're an adulterer at heart. You're a blasphemer and a liar and a thief. You're guilty like everybody else. What should God do with you?
Just like everyone else.
Yeah,
but,
so God should send us all to hell.
God is too busy running this earth and running the universe.
And part of his running...
He's sending everyone to hell.
Yeah, but God isn't busy. Okay, David, God doesn't ever get busy. He can handle it all. And the way that he runs it is by keeping tabs on you and your thought life and what you do and what you fail to do. He knows it all. It is recorded, and someday the books will be open, and God will expose it all. And, dude, if he gives you what you deserve, he will send you to hell in a fast and furious way.
All righty, you can believe that.
Well, that's what Christianity teaches, okay?
All righty.
All right, now, if that's true, you're in hot water.
I am, but I don't believe it to be true, so I feel fine with my life right now.
Okay, but David, it doesn't matter if you believe it. If the criminal stands before the judge and says, I don't believe in laws, I don't believe in the courtroom, and I don't believe in you, it is irrelevant. The judge has the authority to slam down the gavel and send him away, and so does God. You can stand there and say, I don't believe in you, but if he exists and it is true, you will go to hell.
All right, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see then, right?
That doesn't kind of cause you to go, whoa, I don't like that thought?
Well, I'm really not going to change my life. I think God is liking the way that I'm living it right now. And I actually got to get to class so my teacher doesn't get mad at me.
All righty.
So I'm going to have to let you go.
All right, dude. See you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
If you're just joining us and you're a Christian, I am almost certain you are going, whoa, why didn't you give him the gospel? Number one, he's not interested. He made it clear. Would you offer the most precious thing in the whole world to somebody who is mocking it? Second of all, do you believe that God is sovereign and omnipotent and omniscient? Yes, of course you do. God will handle it. It is our job to proclaim the law before the gospel, repentance and faith, Jesus rising from the dead, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
This is Wretched Radio. Wanna help a pastor out?
Man's preaching away, a little shanty church in the little country of Burundi, Africa. 20 militant Muslims drag this man out the front doors, family's watching, right? And they beat him unconscious for one reason. He's been patiently sharing Christ with militant Muslims in that small African country, and many have come to embrace Jesus. In fact, there were new converts, former militant Muslims, in that congregation that morning. All right? So this man's beaten unconscious for the cause of Christ. Again, for that reason and that reason only.
How could you help that pastor? For $30 per month, you will provide his entire congregation with Bibles. That would thrill him, and it would thrill the people who receive them. Bible League International, $30 per month. You will stock an entire congregation with Bibles. You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Obeying the Great Commission has never been easier. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled with that number. But we're far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple? Perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is. Perfect for agnostics or atheists in your life. So visit wretched.org/purple and order as many copies as you promised to give away. The booklets are free. You just pay for the shipping. And together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. Now, if you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to give away a gazillion What Time is Purple, we would love to send you a gazillion copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. al@wretched.org. He'll get you set up. So, obey the Great Commission. Visit wretched.org/purple for your copies of What Time is Purple. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, you're at a big old school in Texas, huh?
I'm at Tarrant Community College. It's a beautiful sunny day. There's a lake outside. It's really nice. Instead of going fishing, we're fishing for souls today. And I found someone else that's quite interesting. Her name's Kimberly. She grew up in the church, Assemblies of God. Her dad is a pastor. And the interesting thing about her is she does not attend church at all. She doesn't feel that there's a need to attend church. But yet she says she's been born again, and she says she's a Christian. So I began asking her some questions about the Bible and the Bible's authority, and if she thinks that it's the inspired word of God. She goes, well, I think it's divine, but I kind of pick and choose what I want. I don't think maybe all of it's divine. I have problems with the councils and, you know, this and that. So she's a student here. She has two bachelor degrees, and she's going to school to community college to finish up some coursework for nursing.
All righty, so, dude, the old pastor's kid, Ray.
Yeah.
Do we need to witness to a pastor's kid?
I think we should.
They're a pastor's child. Don't they just get ushered in?
I think we should answer the prayers.
Ray, you've got to go through the law.
Hey! Thank you. Let me write that. Go through the... Yes, I think we'll give it a go.
What does she mean?
Okay, Kimberly, you're live on the air. You ready?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Kimberly. My name's Ray. Thanks for coming on the radio program.
No problem.
Kimberly, you're a PK?
Yes, I am. And I have been since I was three.
Do you like being brought up a pastor's kid?
Actually, I have to say it is probably something I would not recommend.
Why is that? It's a very difficult life.
Because
your dad was always chatting with other people at the end of a service?
Well, it has a lot to do with you see things as a child that, you know, it makes you wonder, and of course, you're also held as an example all the time.
Right.
And you're human, so you're going to make mistakes.
Absolutely. So,
hey, Ray. Oh, hi, Kimberly. I'm just eavesdropping on the conversation. Ray, I'm sorry. What did you see as a child that caused you distress?
You would see a lot of hypocrisy. People saying, you know, I'm such a great Christian, and then they would go out during the week and do things that are not very Christian-like.
All right. Are you talking about in your home or just in general?
No, in general, in my home. My parents actually are wonderful people and very Christian.
All right. Hypocrisy.
So, Kimberly, that's not to do with being a PK. Every Christian sees people fake it. You can see it on television. You see it in the news. Fake Christians
all over the place. But being a preacher's kid, you get to hear and see it a lot more because they do come in and want to talk to my father. And, of course, you know, you're a little kid playing around, so they ignore you. But you hear.
Oh, yes.
And so you take some of that in.
How old are you, Kimberly?
I'm actually 41 years old.
Okay, so you've taken a lot in over the years. Do you believe in evolution?
That's actually an interesting question, because my mother actually is a teacher, and she teaches biology, and we discussed this. And I do believe in evolution, but I also believe in creationism.
So you don't believe...
Because I think the two go hand in hand.
So you don't believe the Bible? You don't believe the Bible, then?
That it happened in 7 days?
No, that God made man after his own image.
Well, now that's the idea, because I don't think that believing in evolution and believing in creationism are mutually exclusive.
Okay.
I actually think they go together, because if you look at the odds of evolution happening, you will see that they're astronomical.
Right.
And so you know that there had to be a guiding hand somewhere.
So, using the compartments of a car, how would you describe where God fits into your life? Is he in the trunk? Is he in the driver's seat, back seat, glove box, or the passenger seat? Where would you say God
is?
He's
right beside me all the time.
So he's not in the driver's seat. You haven't yielded that to him. He's a passenger. He's moving along with you, and you're going where you want.
Because I think that you have what's called free will.
Yeah.
And I think that in my life, if I let God drive, then I'm not using my free will. I'm letting him do everything.
That's true.
That he wants me to be independent and do what I think is right, and he's with me all the time.
Are you sure of that?
I'm sure of it, because if I do something that's inappropriate, he'll let me know.
And how does he do that?
Well, first of all, you have something called a conscience, and I think sometimes that's God saying, excuse me. And then sometimes it's just events in your life that God will work things out to make you go in the direction that he wants you to go.
Kimberly, do you think you're a good person?
Actually, I do.
Okay. I'm going to speak directly to your conscience, because the conscience is the impartial judge on the courtroom of your mind. And I hope you'll listen to it, and all I ask from you is when I ask you a few questions about the Ten Commandments, that you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Can you do that for me?
I do believe I can.
Okay, have you ever told a lie?
Of course I have, and then I've asked forgiveness, and of course, and then I have to go back and correct it.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something in your life, even if it's small?
No, that I've never done.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Actually, I have.
Okay. When you take God's name and use it as a cuss word, that's called blasphemy. God lavished his goodness upon you, he gave you life itself, and you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word, which is very, very serious in God's sight. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. One to go. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a guy with lust in your life?
No, I actually have not. I'm happily married.
No, but before you're married.
I wouldn't say with lust. I would be interested, but I wouldn't
sexual
say with
desire.
Lust.
Sexual desire. So you've never lusted after a guy, ever?
Oh, well, okay, then. If you want to put it that way, it's just mutual desire, then yes.
Okay. So, listen to this, Kimberly. By your own admission, I'm not judging you, but by your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous, adulterate heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day.
Yes, I do.
If he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Actually, I think I would be innocent because I ask for forgiveness, and nobody is perfect. And God knows that.
Yeah.
But we are imperfect people.
There's something very important to understand in this whole issue. If you stand in front of a civil judge and you've violated civil law and you've committed very serious crimes and you say, Judge, I want you please to forgive me, he's not going to let you go. If you say, I'm really sorry, he's not going to let you go. If you say, I'll never do this again, he's not going to let you go. Being sorry, being contrite, being repentant doesn't mean you're free from the demands of civil law. How much more eternal law? The Bible says repentance is dead without the cross of Jesus Christ. It can't help you saying, God, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, please forgive me. You're not forgiven unless you're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be forgiven. Do you understand that?
Of course I do.
Okay, have you been born again?
Of course I have.
And what happened when you were born again?
What happened?
Yeah. I mean, it's a radical, I mean, of all the things in my life that happened to me, the most radical thing, it's not getting married, not starting a new job, it was being born again. I'm still shaking my head after 36 years. It was so radical. Tell me about your born again experience.
Well, having, you know, been this way my entire life, it really was no different. I was raised in a Christian home. I understood and accepted Jesus Christ when I was very, very young.
What age?
I was probably about six.
So you repented when you
understood.
You repented when you were six and put your faith in Jesus Christ?
My faith was always in Jesus, even before then.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I've seen things, I've seen miracles happen. And so, you know,
Kimberly,
my faith has always been there.
Kimberly, when you're born again, this is exactly what you do. You say, not my will, but yours be done. You give up the driver's seat. You yield everything to the Lord. And you don't keep him as a passenger. You don't do your own thing. You completely submit to his will. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. When I understood that I'd sinned against God, then I understood the cross, that God was in Christ, suffering and dying for my sins, taking my punishment upon himself. When I understood the resurrection, I understood that he defeated death, and I had to repent, not just repent, and trust him entirely with my eternal salvation. I had to give up my will and yield myself to him, because he's my creator. And the essence of the commandments is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus warned many would say to him on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So of all the things you should be sure in your life of, Kimberly, it's your eternal salvation. And if I can make you doubt your salvation today, that's good, because better today I offend you and you doubt your salvation than you be on your deathbed and then start getting fears that you're not truly saved and that you're going to end up in hell. I'd hate that to happen to you. Todd, would you like to talk to Kimberly?
Hey, Kimberly, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
You said something, and I'm kind of intrigued by it, and I want to understand what you said. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, you said when you lie, you apologize, and then you go back and correct it.
Yes, I do.
Why do you do that?
Because I think that if you lie, it only builds upon itself, and eventually it will eat at you. And so you go back and you tell the truth, even if it's something just horrid that you don't want that to tell.
Yeah. Would it be primarily because it's a sin against God?
Well, that would be that. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
It's because your conscience starts to eat at you, and then you think, you know, which I do believe is God telling me, you know, and my upbringing and the teachings saying you're not supposed to lie.
Yeah.
You need to go back.
I was just wondering if you're going to say it's because, well, I have to make good on what I did bad.
No.
Okay, because I just wanted you to clarify that, because I thought, ooh, that would go against by grace you're saved through faith, because all of our sins are forgiven and we don't make up for them. We do it what's right if we should do that, but it's not for the forgiveness of sins.
No.
Okay. Hey, Thank you very much. You've been very patient. I sure do appreciate your time today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, Kimberly. Hey, you take care, all right?
All right, you also.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
When you talk to somebody and you ask them for their testimony, and one of the keys is that they say that they're a good person, that should just be like a siren that goes, whoop, 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 false understanding. If they say, well, if you're asking, do I do anything good? If I do, there is an alien imputed righteousness in me, but nothing I do in and of myself is good. Okay, that's an acceptable answer. But if somebody just kind of proclaims, yeah, I'm a good person, they've never understood the depravity of their sin. They've never understood that they are wretched.
Until next time, go serve your king.